It's been rough for a while, but with COVID for the past 2 years, it's been insane. And we've all, on both sides, been trying to get our points across about how we feel. A 24-year-old basketball player just died in from around where I live in my district. My district, as you know, is Marjorie Taylor Greene's district. A person who said that, hey, if you're healthy, you'll be fine. 24-year-old played basketball. Dead. 24 years old. He's dead. Otherwise healthy. We need to quit calling people stupid, and we need to figure out a way to do this without screaming and getting mad. But I just don't even know anything other than to say that don't do it because of your politics. Get vaccinated so that you can see your family at Christmas this year. Is that enough? Just do it so you won't be 24 and dead. Just do it so you can live.
Amen. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's 6 p.m. Time for another edition of Off the Wall. It's Off the Wall. Emmanuel here. Kyle over there.
Present.
And accounted for. You know that line in the movie Clerks? I'm not even supposed to be here today. We're not supposed to be here today, but we are. I'm sorry, everybody. We promised you that we were going to be preempted, and...
Doesn't mean we don't prefer to be.
Yeah. No, it certainly doesn't.
With you.
Yeah. No, wait. okay, yeah. I would prefer to be preempted. I mean, you know, it's so much stress and work. No, I feel I have to be honest on the air because I was reminded today of what happens when you say things off the record that turn out to be on the record. Well, you know what? We'll get into that later. But, we're not supposed to be here today because there was a volleyball game. I don't know what happened. If they canceled the game, we just realized we never... had a volleyball game on the air before, and how do you do that on the radio? I don't know what the reason is. No one told us the reason. They just said, now you're back on. So we don't question. We just follow commands, as you well know. Hey, that COVID PSA, that was something. That was Corey Forrester. He's a great guy from Georgia, comedian. You might see him on Twitter. Basically saying all kinds of things we can't say on the radio, but wow, he says them well. And this particular piece was something that he said earlier today, and I just asked him if we could make it into a PSA. He said, sure, go ahead. So we whittled it down a bit, made it a minute, and tells the story. 24 years old, and it's so true. It's happening all around us. And you can pretend like it's not, but it is. You know, listening to Amy's piece before the hour on World Trade Center deaths and how many times they don't tell you that's related to the World Trade Center. It's not related to the chemicals they were exposed to. This person died of something. And many times you see the same thing with COVID, where, yeah, they died of asthma or diabetes or cancer or something. Some underlying condition that they already had. And people who, for some reason, don't want COVID to be a big deal. I mean, none of us want it to be a big deal, but it is a big deal and you can't deny it. But people want to minimize that, oftentimes gloss over the fact that, yeah, COVID killed them. And it's killing people younger and younger. And it's scary as hell. But we're not going to devote the entire hour to that. Just suffice to say that we take this seriously. We encourage you to take it seriously. And encourage others around you to take it as seriously as they possibly can. And that's how we get through this. That's how it eventually will wither up and die itself, and we can get on with our lives. But, you know, it's incredible. Do people actually think that we don't want to do that? Or that there's anyone really that doesn't want to do that? What kind of person would want this to continue forever? I just don't get it. If you're going to have accusations, you're going to have a conspiracy, it really needs to make a little bit of sense. You know, otherwise, what's the point of the conspiracy? I don't know. I've tried to figure these things out many times before with crazy conspiracies and never really get anywhere. Just a lot of people saying, aha, but you don't know either. And it just, it's you get a headache. You get a real headache.
Alas, on this program, we'll be referring to the ongoing health crisis as it arises in the news. Mm-hmm. And what we've experienced. What's also a crisis is this weather disaster.
Oh my God! Yeah, we almost forgot. In fact, if it wasn't for the volleyball game being canceled or whatever happened to the volleyball game, we might not have ever had the chance to talk about Ida. Ida. Hurricane Ida hit New Orleans. We talked about that last week, but what we didn't realize was that Hurricane Ida, while heading for us, we knew that, we didn't know what she was going to do when she got here. Oh, my God. I have never been so scared of a storm. And I've been through a lot of hurricanes, been through a lot of blizzards, been through heat waves and all kinds of things. But this storm was fierce. And it dumped so much water on us in such a short period of time. You know, I think we mentioned this a couple of weeks earlier. Hurricane Henri, or the remnants of Hurricane Henri, hit New York. And they were having that concert in Central Park. You know, New York City is back, except Henri said, no, you're not, because I'm going to dump all this rain on you and force everyone to run away. And that's exactly what happened. And basically, Central Park said, you know what, that 1 hour was the most rainfall we ever got in an hour period during the concert. How about that? Well, guess what? Ida said, hold my beer. I'm going to come through New York with one more inch in an hour. 2 weeks later. Yeah, tell me climate change isn't happening, Kyle. Go ahead. Try and tell me that.
Why would I tell you that?
Well, I don't know. Someone has to. Go ahead. I mean, this is insane.
Climate change is not happening.
What, are you out of your mind? What more evidence do you need? You know, that there's excessive heat, excessive rain. There's all these named hurricanes. We're going to run out of the Greek alphabet this year.
Climate change means it, though.
Ugh.
It's serious.
The only comfort I have is that there are so many other planets, and while we won't get to any of them, there's other civilizations there that are doing it better, and they're okay, and we can't hurt them, as long as we stay grounded on Earth. But, yeah, that was a storm. That was, I was scared. At one point, I was sticking my head outside, and I just heard this demonic sound. I don't know what it was. I may never know what it was, but I'll never forget it. Just like kind of a groaning, haunting sort of a sound. I don't know if it was a possible tornado or something, but it was definitely something bad. Something that if you were to stay out there, you would know how bad it was. And just seeing the death toll in the tri-state area of people who, I never even thought basement apartments would be such death traps. But of course, you know, when you have water pouring down like that and no other way out, it's horrible to come to that realization. The subway system, seeing the waterfalls and in the subways and all the people trapped in their cars. My God, you know, we do a show on Wednesdays in the city, except thanks to COVID, we haven't been going into the city. We've been doing it from our remote location. Had there not been COVID, and this is the only time I think I will ever say that COVID served us. Okay. Had there not been COVID, we would have been driving in that, and we could very well have become stranded. And think about it. When you're on a road and it suddenly water piles up, you can't open your door because the water is so heavy against it. But if you don't open your door, the water is going to seep in and eventually drown you. And if you have electric windows, which most people do, your electric system has failed. They won't work. This is a good, you came up with a great suggestion, Kyle, of having a backup for the electric windows, kind of like a hand crank and electric window. Is that possible? Do any cars have that?
I'm not 100%. I think maybe, of course, there's been so many designs over the years, but it seems to me there's some... it wasn't even a crank. I was thinking just a way of unlocking it from the track or whatever mechanism, so it just slides down. But I guess that would be sort of a security problem. Or
so you press a button and the window just falls.
Yeah, I mean, sort of like, you know how garage doors sometimes you have like a thing where you can disengage it if you need to open it.
Yeah,
in
you
an
lose
emergency.
Power.
Yeah, in a power outage, something like that where you just take it out of the motorized part.
Here's the problem I see with that. If you were to do something, you would need air below it for it to fall into it. There's water there. Will
yeah.
It fall? Will just get clogged again somehow? I don't know. It's worth exploring.
Not my area of expertise.
No, but you did come up with the idea. What I suggest, and this is off the record, folks, so that means that you can't take action. So you should go and patent that idea of basically a backup to electric windows. You don't have to come up with the exact technique. You just have to patent the idea. And then nobody else can come in and say, this is my idea, or they have to pay you.
Nah, right? I don't want to troll ideas
this
like that.
This is how you make some money. I mean, for God's sake, it's you know what? We'll talk.
That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about
is I'm just trying to help out here.
Organizing and getting all of the talent and expertise and getting everyone working in a really cohesive way on this crazy problem, just like we do when there's a disaster. And people right now are relying on their neighbors from New Orleans all the way to Queens. And it's time to start thinking about arranging these incident responses in longer and more medium-term timelines so that we're mobilized and ready for everything that that can happen. Because when you're not expecting it and you're not coordinated, it's incredibly shocking the kinds of situations people are thrust into.
It happens so fast. I was monitoring various communications outlets, Twitter being one of them, and National Weather Service based in New York issued a flash flood emergency in New York City, and they said, we've never done that before. And when you see an agency like NWS say, we've never done this before, that should scare you. It was extremely scary and warranted as well.
I had seen coverage of flooding in Asia. I think it was Hong Kong or maybe mainland China. Their subways or their underground roadways had flooded, and they were pumping them out. And I was like, oh, man, that's what a mess. That's just so much wear and tear on the infrastructure and the people trapped. And it was harrowing in that light, and not in the least imagining the very same thing would happen in the same year. And mm-hmm. it just truly shows how we're all impacted and have that interest in protecting people going about their everyday lives in modern cities.
I didn't know that your car became completely totaled if that happened to your car.
Yeah, flood damage is not something that you can really fix.
I thought flood damage basically meant you had to change your interiors because it got all mildewy. But no, the engine apparently seizes up because water gets in it. And so all those people who were driving into these lakes, that's the end of their car as well. And if they don't have comprehensive insurance, they're pretty much out of luck. Wow, that's a lot.
Incredible, yeah. And no fault of their own, necessarily. They can't do anything but file a claim. And they're just probably the auto auctions and insurance assessors are very busy right now helping people out, trying to get them in some kind of intermediate solution or I don't know how that works entirely. It's probably a learning process.
A rental car at least.
Yeah, a rental or some kind of way to, if they had to get to work and stuff.
Are you familiar with the term hydro locking?
That's
what's happening to motors. They're being hydro locked.
Okay.
Yeah. That happens when the engine seizes up after water enters the combustion chamber.
Yeah, it's basically a lot of really shiny metal parts that are in very close tolerances, and I guess when seawater, of course, if it's salty, or mud and sand and of course regular water, and then if it sits and perhaps dries out a little bit, to say nothing of being completely waterlogged, mm-hmm. I mean, it's supposed to be either air or fuel in there, and yeah, and then so that friction makes it sort of impossible to run through a cycle of the engine without putting undue strain on parts that essentially would mechanically break, trying to break through that friction. And
according to Robert Sinclair, who's a spokesman for the AAA Northeast, when drivers abandon cars in heavy snowstorms, when they return to them, they start. Cars abandoned in floods are essentially junk, won't restart, and have to be towed.
Well, and that's just, I mean, to say nothing of the electrical, because you have, like, bundles of wiring and all kinds of stuff that perhaps would get dirt and other things in it, and it just deteriorates some of the stuff. And then you have mold and mildew, of course. It's a terrible terrible loss for something that people really invest a lot in and mm-hmm. spend a lot of their time in, obviously.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known. And now I know. That's another lesson that we've learned out of all this. But the North Shore of Long Island really took a hit as far as flooded cars, floods in general. George Hyams is the owner of Port Jeff Car Care Center in Port Jefferson, believe it or not. He said he was able to resuscitate a woman's car that was parked in a low-lying area near the ferry. Port Jefferson flooded pretty good. In fact, we saw the water on the coverage. It was coming down the hill. We figured it would be coming up from Port Jeff Harbor. But no, it was actually going down towards that direction. That's how Theater 3 and various places up there get flooded.
Yeah, it basically was coming from higher elevations to drain down in the port, and then when there is storm surge, it does flood
from
the ferry dock, and
mm-hmm.
it's incredible that it was so deep there.
He said that this woman was lucky. The front of the car was submerged up to the top of the motor. The engine was locked, but time is of the essence in situations like this. So if you get it to a mechanic quickly and it wasn't submerged too deeply, they might be able to fix it. They might be able to save it. But what this means is that you're going to see a lot of used cars that had damage from this, that either were hobbled together repaired somewhat, or not repaired that much. So you have to look for some symptoms like new interiors on cars that really shouldn't have new interiors.
Yeah, like new, won't start.
Things like that, yeah.
Great deal.
But, you know, the more serious thing, though, is getting trapped in a car when water is coming up. You mentioned something else that I think would be of great use to people. There's a little hammer that you can use to break your window.
I seem to remember this being an accessory or something to have in your glove box or in your trunk. Not in your trunk. You want it accessible. When
that doesn't
you're
help. No.
Yeah, it doesn't help if it's in the trunk. Don't put it with your jumper cables if that's what you're doing. But there's basically like a handle and then kind of a pointy metal part, and it is a little hammer. And I think it's fairly common in like auto parts stores or other places.
Why is it common there? You mean they sell it?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
If you're trying to find one, but now I guess online retailers are the only place to buy things.
It's never been common with me. I didn't know about it.
I don't even know what it's called. It's probably like auto safety hammer.
Okay.
Best. I don't know.
If car is sinking, break the glass with this.
Figure out how to search on your own. But yeah, basically it shatters the tempered windows in an automobile, and that bypasses your need to use any sort of mechanical part of it.
Well, it depends how much it breaks the window, because you know you need to be able to get past it after that happens. You need to be able to somehow slither past the hole that you've now opened up. And keep in mind also that water is going to start pouring in the second you do that. But when that happens, there's equalization. So then it becomes easier to actually do things like open doors, because you don't have this pressure differential from one side to the other.
There will be a hole, because it's tempered, and so the window will be in many tiny little crumbly pieces of glass.
You know, the best thing, don't drive into things that you don't know how deep they are. Don't do that. You won't be in this situation. And if you hear about something like Ida heading your way, go inside. Stay inside. Of course, you know, for some people that didn't help either, because their basement certainly flooded. Sometimes their first floor flooded. All sorts of things happened. Thing is, we're not ready for this. We're not ready for this kind of storm on a regular basis. And
that's
everybody
talking about coordination.
Yeah, everybody keeps saying this is what we have to get used to. Okay, but we're not prepared. And all these people who debate whether or not climate change is real, they're as bad as the COVID deniers and as wrong too. The evidence is all around us. Listen to the people who have been saying this literally for decades. You know. Go with the science. Go with the facts. Go with the evidence that's right in front of you. And then let's figure it out together. I don't know why people are so averse to this, to actually coming up with a solution that benefits all of us.
Well, there's a ton of messaging meant to make people associate these changes with various companies. And it is not necessarily that kind of association that's going to fix it, because many times the people that can afford that messaging are the very companies that have helped us get into this position. So, yeah, there's a lot of feel-good talk about it and ads and so forth that will either sort of blame us. There's been a lot of studying into the consumer now having to solve the very problem by consuming the right things, because we were consuming the wrong things before. But when that's not the option, you know, when the right things aren't an option in the market because of suppressing or lack of funding or education or denying that alternatives are a good idea at whatever moment in time you're talking about, it doesn't have a chance. And people are stuck with the things that are bad. And when you add in profit motive, it's just even uglier. So try to ignore some of the messaging, or at least be very critical of the kinds of, you know, feel-good green advertising, because they're depending so much on people feeling guilty or people changing their habits.
Yeah,
that
annoys the hell out of me, making people feel guilty when it's those very entities that push the whole thing in the first place. And they're going to lecture us on how to be greener? You know, no, they're the ones that need to change from the top.
Or about oversight or about regulation and all of that being so onerous and bad for business or jobs or whatever. And then that's just more guilt. And really, it's like the people who can actually tackle this stuff are representatives in the government and also industry leadership. And a lot of that's changing, but it's not as much on the consumer. You know, it has to be a whole of society coordinated effort that, of course, consumer habits will change when there's other options, but that needs to be stimulated, it needs to be encouraged, and have leadership behind it.
And we are capable of so much change. I mean, look, we don't have plastic bags anymore. Remember a year ago? That was a big controversy. How are we going to survive without plastic bags? We're doing just fine here in Suffolk County, New York State. We just use paper or we bring our own reusable bag.
Even straws. People don't like the paper straws. They don't like them. I remember when someone brought some paper straws to the radio station.
Oh, yeah,
it was like the first paper straw I'd ever seen.
Those are some dark days. People really reacted violently.
And
but we never had straws anyway, so I don't know why people were upset.
The deal is, though, if you don't like them, you just find another way to drink your drink.
Yes, or suck it up.
Yeah. Ooh.
That's good, huh?
Bring your nasty reusable one, whatever it is, but we don't do that because it's a choice.
And before that, it was how can we not smoke in bars? You know, the whole bar industry is going to go under. That the exact opposite happened. I remember smoking cars and trains. You can't get rid of those. Well, we did. Recycling, it'll never work. It's working just fine. Yeah, there's problems, I know, but we got used to it. The point is, we can separate things if we need to. And, you know, there are so many things that we can adapt to. We're always told that we can't make these changes. It's too much for people to handle. Well, I bet we could get the metric system going in this country inside of a year if we put our minds to it. It's not a big deal. The rest of the world did it. We can do it, too. And there's so many other things we can do that we've convinced ourselves we can't.
And it's also worth saying there's, like, you know, it's not to say that alternatives are not without their own challenges, but those problems and new challenges, many, especially in the scientific community, have just judged that it's worth taking on some of those problems as opposed to exasperating the ones we're really facing the end results of, or at least the beginning of a very serious decline in habitat loss, specifically habitat loss,
mm-hmm.
and you know, species of animals, and on and on and on. Fresh water.
Yeah, you know, I like to correct people though on something that they often say, that we're killing the planet. No, we're not killing the planet. We're killing our environment. The planet's going to be fine unless we actually blow up the planet. You know, and there's no core of the planet. Okay, that would be killing the planet, but making it so that we can't live on the planet, as other animals and plants can't live on the planet, no, you just have a different planet then. You have a Mars or a Venus or something like that. Planet's fine. The planet's going to exist. But the environment that we prefer, that's what we have the power to completely destroy. And we're making really good progress in that regard.
Yeah, I believe that, yeah, your distinction's like acute or chronic destruction
mm-hmm.
of our habitat.
I don't know what's going on in Canada, but wow. Justin Trudeau was hit by a handful of gravel as these crazy anti-vax protesters targeted his campaign for re-election. Yeah, you know, it's not just happening here. It's not just happening in the United States, although in Canada they call it the Americanization of their politics. And I can sort of understand why they would say that. It didn't seem to be as crazy before, but they're catching up. They're catching up and learning a lot. I also hear they have a tremendous problem with weapons being smuggled from their southern border. That's us, folks. We're the problem in Canada right now. So there's all sorts of resentment towards people in the good old USA. But CTV, which is one of their independent networks up there, they capture what appears to be white gravel hitting Trudeau and one of his bodyguards as he walked towards his campaign bus in London, Ontario. Now, last month, the Liberals canceled an event because of safety concerns linked to anti-vax protesters. I think we might have talked about this, too. Basically, commentators were saying, yeah, it's a bad look for the prime minister to have all these demonstrators, and implying that he shouldn't be appearing in public because of that, which I think is completely the wrong thing to do, the wrong message to send, because that empowers, emboldens these fringe lunatics to basically shut down anything they don't like when they represent a tiny minority. And, you know, same thing here. We give all this attention to people who are spouting absolute nonsense, and we treat it as if it's a valid argument when it's really a tiny minority of people saying these things. And in so doing, it becomes equal. And when it becomes equal, it's kind of like a snowball effect. They get more power. And then they actually start getting some of these people elected into positions of real influence and power. And before you know it, you can't stop it. That's kind of where we are right now. Anyway, Trudeau played down the incident later, saying he may have been hit on the shoulder, and added that he once had pumpkin seeds thrown at him, trying to play it down. Earlier on Monday, Trudeau had assailed Conservative leader Erin O'Toole's opposition to vaccine mandates, including for his own candidates, Erin O'Toole's own candidates, and called the hecklers angry mobs of anti-vaxxers. Erin O'Toole is at least taking some of his cues from the anti-vax crowd, Trudeau said. It's crazy to think how I guess Canada just moves quicker than we do, because their whole election process is about 6 weeks. Their election is going to be over pretty soon. It only just started about a month ago. But boy, they're getting crazy quicker too. These anti-vaxxers, where were they a month ago? I didn't even hear about them, and now they seem to be everywhere. And it's a bit entertaining, but it's also pretty scary.
Yeah, and it's unclear what their end goals are. The public health choices that have been made worldwide are clear. And I guess they want all of that to not be the way it is, and think that by showing up and doing these things that all of that's going to turn around somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then I guess more people will be sick. Yeah, I don't know either.
These people that are behind this, though, there was a bit of an investigation into some of them, who they are, from a website called unmasktheright.org. Unmask the Right. I like it.
It's a good title.
Yeah. I'm going to pick a couple of people here. Let's see. Are you trying to tell me to talk louder? I don't know what those hand symbols mean.
Oh, no. I just noticed that you seemed a little low over there.
So talk louder.
Yeah, okay. If you could.
Because you can see I'm pegged here. I can't get any higher there.
Something must have changed then. But
yeah, you're talking
that.
Low, too, if you want to
forget about it.
Hurling accusations.
Talk about what you're talking
about. You could
talk
a little louder as well.
No, I just noticed.
Our levels look good now, as long as we're yelling at each other.
Yeah, I think we should just have a more confrontational conversation.
You can do
all
it.
The time.
I can do it. I can certainly do that. Our poor listeners, especially those in cars, have to swerve now. So I'm going to let's pick somebody. Alicia Johnson. Freedom Rally World. This is a quote. If anyone understands these people like George Soros, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, they're the ones who on the six major broadcasting corporations who run all of our media, all of our news, and that is how they're able to manipulate the masses. I didn't know that in 1913 the Rothschilds actually bought the United States of America. They're the U.S. Treasury. The U.S. Treasury is not owned by the U.S., it's owned by the Rothschilds. Yeah, Antifa is a Biden/George Soros movement, a.k.a. besties with Clinton, Obama. If you want to see where all the BLM donation money goes, follow the money, go to the BLM website, then Act Blue, who collects donations, then go... It's unhinged. It's really... you go through these... All these lists. Here's one from Marco Pietro. No more lockdowns. Vancouver human rights movement. Their Twitter feed recently posted a tweet showing one of British Columbia's anti-lockdown activists, Marco Pietro, denying Nazi Germany's use of gas chambers. Yeah, in May, he organized a rally in Vancouver leading more than 100 protesters through the downtown while carrying a megaphone. More recently, video shows him accusing a bunch of Zionist Jews of setting up Adolf Hitler. Yeah, Adolf Hitler was set up. Oh, I'm a Holocaust disbeliever, he declared. You're effing right I am. Okay, I did the research into it. Sound familiar? He went on to purport that Hitler's systematic murder of 6 million Jews never happened. He also claimed that there were no gas chambers, notwithstanding their existence at the Auschwitz. You know, we went to Auschwitz, so that was quite a setup they had for us, just to fool us like that. Wow, it looked authentic. I was taken in. I was taken. Good job, you people at Auschwitz. What are you, theater majors or something?
Some of it's still falling apart. They do maintain stuff so that it's still observable, but it's not, like, custom built or something.
Let's listen to Susan Stanfield of No More Lockdowns, also Vancouver Human Rights Movement, No New Normal. Take off your mask. You're being programmed by a captured media to obey a new global socialism tyranny run by the European banksters. Canada is being what's called structurally downgraded by our lenders in the greatest wealth transfer heist in history, branded as SARS-CoV-19, and Canada is likely the reason this entire pandemic occurred. That's Canada's fault. Okay. Video coming later explaining my theory. Rushing to get my hair done and leave town for a few days. You just have to read what these people say. And, yeah, it's... I don't want to get into any more of it because it's really disturbing. There are just very close links to all sorts of anti-Semitism and just far-right conspiracies. You even get into aliens and lizards and things like that. And it's all based on not believing what's right in front of you, what's easily provable. And when you hear people basically saying, yeah, you know, those people at the CDC, you know, Centers for Disease Control, the NIH, WHO, they're all in on it. These are all the entities that are supposed to know what they're doing, know what they're talking about, that you go to for the information. If all of them are in on it, there's nobody left except your people, the people that you pick and choose. So it's very convenient to basically say, oh, yeah, everybody is in on it. But can you honestly tell me what is the last thing everybody was in on that they got away with? You know, conspiracies, trust me, they're hard to pull off. They're hard to keep going. Somebody's going to say something. You know, you'll make a mistake.
Even those small potatoes ones.
Especially those. Well, they're the worst.
I mean, it's just...
That's why you outsource, mm-hmm. and you make sure that you're not connected in any... Well, okay, we'll talk later. But yeah...
That's a different program.
You're getting it. You're understanding it then.
Yeah.
In Smithtown. Yeah, that's right next door. More than 50 people rallied against the state's recently announced school mask mandate, carrying signs demanding parent choice, and illustrating that the months-long battle against masks in schools is far from over. No more mandates, Michael Murphy of St. James said through a bullhorn at the rally outside the headquarters of Smithtown Central School District. Unmask our children. Okay, Michael, first of all, what are you doing? It's a state mandate. Why are you picking on the people at the Smithtown School District?
No, these school districts are getting a lot of this.
But it's a state mandate. Go get on Amtrak and go to Albany. This way I support Amtrak, too. Get on a train. Don't take a bus. They're terrible.
Trains are federal.
You have a snack car and everything like that. But you do have to wear a mask on the train. But you'd have to wear a mask on the bus, too. You know what? Just listen.
The railroads are federal.
It's a state mandate. All right, so the school district can't do anything one way or another. They have to obey the state mandate. Unless, as in Florida, the state mandate is insane, where they basically say that you aren't allowed to advise your students to wear masks. I think today the governor of Florida even said...
It's crazy
said,
how...
Go ahead. Continue interrupting
me. Everything becomes a rhetorical statement. I can't tell which one. You're going back and forth. I'm sorry.
Well, the governor of Florida...
No, you're right.
If I may finish, said that unvaccinated people pose no risk to anyone else. It's just basically, you know what? It's not a virus. It's an ice cream cone. Just make up something that makes people feel better. The school district has no say. And if you expect them to simply go rogue and disobey this based on no science, well, that's going to be tough for a lot of people. Also keep in mind that the majority of people don't agree with you. Majority of people are perfectly okay with their kids being masked. The majority of kids are fine with being masked. They really are. I've never seen a crying kid wearing a mask. I've seen kids wanting to wear masks. I've seen kids demanding their parents wear masks. They seem to be into it. They seem to be listening, aware, more aware than the older people. That says a lot right there. But, you know, to say that this is a parent's choice, you know, there are so many parents in a typical school district. There are thousands of parents. You want every single one of them to make their own choice on something health-related in the middle of a pandemic rather than follow a guideline. Does that make any sense? I mean, everybody does it their own way. That's not how contagious diseases work. You can't just set up a barricade at the Smith house and open things up at the Jones house and send their kid out to hang out and apply their rules and expect it not to affect what other people are doing. It's common sense. Common sense. What you're espousing. So, 50 people in Smithtown, and it's not the only place. It's happening all over the state, all over the island. I have a parent choice. This guy Murphy, wait a minute, hold on, this is a different Murphy. Stacy Murphy. Are you related to Michael Murphy? Oh, no, it says right here. Stacy Murphy is unrelated to Michael Murphy. Okay, thank you, Newsday. She is talking with other board members about meeting in the next several days to discuss the mask issue and a potential lawsuit. Because that's exactly what we need, is more lawsuits going back and forth. I am for parent choice, said the other Murphy. She attended the rally as a parent rather than a board member. But you are a board member, and you attended the rally, so let's make that clear. Christine Manello of Smithtown said she and her husband, Andrew Manello. Yeah, you got roped into this, Andrew. They're not sure what they'll do if the mandate goes into effect when school starts on Thursday. I got some advice for you. Chill out. Stop worrying so much. Your kid will be fine wearing a mask. And what's more important, they'll be healthy. Yeah, would they prefer not to wear a mask? Probably. But would they prefer not to be sick or not to spread sickness to other people and to actually get through this thing unscathed? I'll bet they would. Michael Colapinto of Smithtown said, Michelle Colapinto of Smithtown said her 8-year-old daughter and 6-year-old son love school, but they don't want to go because of the mask. I'll bet, Michelle, they don't want to go because you keep telling them that. Yeah, that's what I think is happening here. I think parents are influencing their kids because that's what parents do. You ever wonder how your kids wind up going to the same church as you? It's not for choice. It's because they spend a lot of time with you and you influence them. Anyway, she continued, it's hard to concentrate in class when they're hot and have something that's restricting their breathing. Well, then turn on the air conditioning. And it doesn't restrict your breathing if you have the right kind of mask. And if it does restrict your breathing, you have a medical condition, and there are exemptions for that and all sorts of ways to deal with this intelligently. Assemblyman Michael Fitzpatrick, a Republican of St. James, in case you're looking for somebody to vote out of office, it said, in addition to parental rights, the children's rights need to be respected. And kids like his 6-year-old grandson say they don't want to wear masks. How do you ask a 6-year-old? You know, if you're at a rally with all these people saying we don't want masks, is a 6-year-old going to say, yeah, you know what, you're all a bunch of idiots? No. They're going to go along the path of least resistance. So, yeah, it's everywhere. It's Canada, it's here, it's Europe, and it's sad. It's really sad because we'd be in such better shape You know, the Delta variant would not be spreading like wildfire if we simply did the logical thing. If more people had gotten vaccinated earlier in the year, the Delta variant wouldn't have spread as much as it has spread already. And because it spread so much, we have to go back to masks indoors, even if we were vaccinated. It's crazy. And it could get worse. There could be a variant that doesn't respond at all to the vaccine. That could happen. And these people will blame Fauci if that happens. I know. There's no logic. Anyway, let's switch gears. You know, I mentioned before about talking off the record and saying things off air and things like that. We were doing the audio release every day. We release a bit of audio. 2600.com. You'll see it's usually the top news story, today's audio release. And we've been doing this since, I believe, July 15th is when we started. And we have interview with the Ramones, interview with Big Audio Dynamite. We've got all kinds of other shows and excerpts and just fun things that we've done over the years. And by years, I mean a lot of years. It starts in the 70s. Some of my early newscasts, which are absolutely abysmal. But there was one show that I started doing in the mid-90s. It actually was in this very time slot. Yeah, 1995, I believe. There was a show called Transmitter Test, which went from Tuesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. Imagine that. It was basically, the theme was that we were testing the transmitter, and we would send across all kinds of tones, and we'd advise people not to listen for their own safety. And sometimes we do things that got us in a bit of trouble, like this excerpt I'm about to play where, well, let's just say we thought the microphones were off and the microphones were on, and everybody at radio stations likes to talk about other people at radio stations, and it's so embarrassing. Do I have to play this? It's like some kind of penalty. I have to keep showing people these mistakes I've made over the years. Okay, so here's an excerpt from August 29th, 1995. Is that the right date? Of a short-lived show called Transmitter Test, which aired over these very airwaves. And remember, we didn't realize that we were talking over the air.
Like, it's almost as if it's in,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh. Okay, we'll be cutting the main line, going over to the Alpha site.
Okay, all right, so we're cutting over now?
That's right. Transmission has ended.
Okay, cool. So I can cut the stupid tone?
You can cut the tone.
All right, great.
Cut the tone.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
Okay, see you later.
All right.
So we're off now.
What do you think of Mike? He's been pretty good.
So far, so good. He's taken it to a fish like water.
A little slow sometimes with the.
Well, he was a boxer in high
yeah,
school.
That's what I was about to say that because I mean he was he got whacked a couple of times in the head there. A
couple of shots, but you know what happened? I know that he got into an accident about 5 years ago, and everything snapped back in. To shape
yeah,
with his gray matter.
Back in with the mentality of another person.
It could be.
You know what I mean?
Like, I don't know who that other person is.
Yeah.
That's the thing we have to find out.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hey.
Wow, Michael.
So we're off the air now, right?
We're totally off the air.
All right, cool.
We're totally off the air. Wow.
You sure about that this time?
Yep.
All right.
Step back to Frank. Got everything under control.
Frank, yeah.
Cool.
Our main electrician.
Yeah.
Operations director.
All right, good. So what, we just stay like this for an hour?
Yeah, until they get all the fuses reset.
Fuses will be reset. Okay. You need to.
Where are the listeners getting that? Are they getting that on the station?
Yeah,
probably. All right.
I think they're getting the best in Swahilian classical music.
Yeah, whatever.
But that's okay. They can deal with that.
Yeah, I'll tell you. All honesty, it's just us guys. It's good not to have to worry about them. Because, I mean. You know, I mean, I love listeners and all that kind of stuff, but they're such pains. You know, you play a song that reminds them of, like, their dead Uncle Bernie or something
right.
like that, and they call you to, like, complain and be mad at you, like you're the one that killed him or something like that.
See, that's
our responsibility.
When they cross that line,
I mean,
okay.
You know, people think we're gods, right? They think because we play music that we understand it all, that we wrote the song.
Right.
They think, you know, we read public service announcements. We've organized. We know what's going on.
True.
I mean, basically, we can barely tell what time it is, let alone what's going on in the world.
Absolutely.
I mean, people don't seem to get that about us.
Well, they feel that, you know, when you're coming out of that box, you know, you know how it is before we were all professional radio disc jockeys.
Yeah.
You know, you hear that voice coming out of the box, they can tell you complete BS.
Yeah,
and you take it as like gospel.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. I think a lot of people think that we know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I know. I know. I mean, we all know we don't, right?
Well, I know.
Some of us do think we know what we're talking about.
Some of us think we know what we're talking about.
I think we know. I think we know who you're talking about when you say that. There's no question about that. How's that little situation going, anyway? You almost got it resolved?
Almost.
Good, good. I'll be, We're going to move all the equipment around?
Yes.
You want to do this again? You want to, like, move the board so that it faces the other direction, like we did that time? Do you remember how angry they were, the next people, when they came in?
I'll tell you,
funny.
I know Frank was speaking to Frank.
It was beside himself.
That's what it was.
Uh-huh.
Tripping the wire, fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you gotta have fun in this place because, you know, it's so little opportunity to have fun. You know, I mean, basically, I just can't believe the iron-fisted rule that has existed in this place for the last 15 years. I mean, you would think that a bunch of people out of college would be able to be more, like, you know, open with each other. But this is like, you know, Albania, North Korea, something like that.
Very
you
frightening.
You step out of line for 1 second, and you're like, you disappear. You really do.
There's like...
How many times do I have to apologize? That was an excerpt from the unintended broadcast and transmitter test, the second episode, I believe, and there weren't many more after that little escapade. And I don't think I was on the air for almost a decade after that. So always check the mics. Well, you know, it wasn't my fault. I did ask. Anyway, you know, the bigger picture, we're releasing lost audio. Some of it was buried audio that wasn't meant to be found, but somebody found it, and we're going to be releasing one excerpt per day into October, and you can listen to all of what we've posted so far, www.2600.com. Just follow the Lost Audio or Lost Tapes links, and you can have all kinds of entertainment and laughs at our expense. I'm sorry you had to hear that, Kyle.
You know, you know what that reminds me of, though? It reminds me, like, before the show today, you said to check the settings on the laptop.
Mm-hmm. I did.
The sound settings.
And what happened?
Well, I just wanted... I forgot, actually, to check them, but I hope they worked, right? So
I guess we'll find out.
I don't have to do that now, right?
I don't know. it just seems like there's a theme here where I'm always asking if something is in fact working or not broadcasting, and always told something, and I believed them, and it turns out not to be true. Seems to be a theme. Anyway,
what am I for?
No use crying over.
Why am I here?
Nobody knows.
How did this happen?
No one understands anything.
How did it happen?
Well, let's finish with a couple of other news stories, and we'll slink out of here and. Maybe there'll be a volleyball game next week, although I don't think so.
I feel like we were well prepared.
Paralympics, we watched the end of that. That, now, talk about inspiring. My God, that is the most inspiring sporting event I think I've seen this year. Just so many people showing their skills in so many ways I never even knew possible. You know, wheelchair basketball and... bow and arrow shooting with your teeth and the goal ball like last week we featured some excerpts from. Any favorites that you can recall?
Oh, wow. I watched a lot of the swimming events and enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the wheeled basketball events were pretty cool.
They kept falling on their sides too. I didn't know that happened so often.
Yeah,
they get pretty pretty physical, and the soccer.
But there's more events than just basketball. Yeah,
there's so much, and you know, they are such good athletes. You never would really expect that. I know that's because we just don't pay attention.
The triathletes and mm-hmm. some of the cycling, amazing stuff there. I saw that.
Yeah.
I think it's really well covered and normal, more normalized and so forth. There's some critiques over it. People seeing the inspiration as sort of a spectacle instead of something that we're just not aware of. And
right.
I think that really came through that. People are genuinely curious. Maybe they don't really know how to talk about ability or disability or you know, and want to get it right or be interested and not, you know, silly about it. But it just is a beautiful thing to have opened people's eyes. And for many people, you just, it's not a world you are aware of and how things work. And it's just different than your life. And I think that really came through in the coverage. And hopefully there's more interest and people are excited for Paris in 2024.
Yeah.
It'll be sooner than we
think. Seeing the joy in the athletes' eyes, you know, whether they won or lost, just the being there. I guess it worked. I guess Tokyo worked. They took a lot of precautions. It seemed like it was about to be a complete disaster at the beginning, but I'm happy that it didn't really turn into that. It's too bad that it couldn't have been better, but you do what you can, you know. And you know, it's a shame that this wasn't aired on broadcast TV. I don't think it was. I think it was only on the cable NBC Sports Network. And those people did not know how to shut up. They just kept talking over everything. The opening ceremonies, closing ceremonies, they're all about America this, America that, and just completely stepping over other countries, other athletes, and explaining to us over and over again what was obvious. We didn't need them. There was, in the closing ceremonies, they were in English, and this guy is telling us what's going on in English when the woman just told us what was going on. He was translating for her, even though she was speaking the same language.
I could not agree with you more. I totally agree. It's just insane to watch something artistic and have someone's opinion, and they're trying to come up with phrases and drawing meaning out of everything. That's great if it's something interpretive and or you're calling like figure skating or something. But if it's an artistic event and it's choreographed and there's music, and heck, I mean, there was people singing in sign.
We don't
need your words to interpret that, and it's not meant to be interpreted necessarily with narration, let alone someone who's just basically a broadcast MC. Like,
yeah,
just let it occur, and if there is something you need to speak about, then that's fine, you know, the entrance of a particular country. But that's a critique I think we could have a whole show on.
Absolutely. CBC, by the way, they aired it over their entire on-air network. I don't know how good their announcing was, but at least they aired it.
One last thing was cutting away.
Oh, all the time.
When you interrupt a game or interrupt an event, it's like you're going to draw people's eyes away from that coverage and then complain, oh, people didn't watch it. Well, maybe it was the coverage being bad that led people, you know, and the thrust of advertising that just made people disinterested.
Okay, we only have about 30 seconds to talk about this story. I wanted more time. Zoning amendment approved unanimously by the Brookhaven Town Board bans marijuana smoking rooms and retail stores from downtown business districts. Yeah, so that's basically keeps them away from any downtown area. They become at least the second Long Island town to adopt zoning rules restricting marijuana sales to industrial areas when the state pot legalization law takes effect next year. The zoning amendment was approved 6-0 by the town board. Bans it from downtown business districts within 500 feet of homes, 1,000 feet of schools, houses of worship, hospitals, libraries, parks, playgrounds, gyms, and dance studios, and they must be at least 1 mile apart from each other. but with all this, it's not necessarily a bad thing. David Falkowski, chairman of the Long Island chapter of the New York Cannabis Growers and Processors Association, said Brookhaven's law is problematic, but better than the town opting out. It's a win that it was not an all-out ban or an opt-out. Marijuana is already part of our community, and we're trying to put it in a better light. We're trying to take this out of the shadows, not put it back into them. And, of course, this is always something that can change down the road. The important thing is it's happening, and we'll keep checking in. We'll keep checking on how things are progressing.
Yeah, and in other states, people have put in the same kind of ordinance, and you go to those parts of town, and then maybe other cool things emerge around it, like a cool coffee place or other cultural type stuff. So it's not altogether bad.
We are out of time. It goes so fast. And we weren't supposed to be here tonight anyway. We will see you next week. OTW at 2600.com.
We'll plan on it.
See you next week. Good night.
Sometimes I get into the sky, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, classic from the Wipers right there. WUSB Stony Brook.